This program was produced by Now You Know Media. Lectures are about 25 minutes in length and are designed to fit conveniently into your daily routine while commuting, exercising, or at home. We search the world for trusted expert presenters, record them in our studios, and deliver their knowledge to you whenever and wherever you desire. We invite you to visit our website, nowyouknowmedia.com, to explore our newest programs. This course is entitled The Story of the Roman Catholic Church in the United States. Your professor is R. Scott Appleby, Ph.D. Dr. Appleby earned his Ph.D. at the University of Chicago. He is a professor of history at the University of Notre Dame, where he serves as the John M. Regan, Jr., director of the Joan B. Kroc Institute for International Peace Studies. The former director of Notre Dame's Cushwaas Center for the Study of American Catholicism, his numerous publications include The Ambivalence of the Sacred, Religion, Violence, and Reconciliation, and Church and Age Unite, The Modernist Impulse in American Catholicism. He has authored several other works and has been a consultant for PBS Documentaries and National Public Radio.
Topic 1. Christ, the New Testament, and the Church. Who was Jesus of Nazareth, and why is this question important to the study of the Roman Catholic Church in the United States? In response to the first question, Christians have produced the most numerous and geographically extensive organized religion in the world. Christianity is some 2 billion strong. It takes its name after the title by which the disciples of Jesus of Nazareth identified him. As the Galilean fisherman Simon Peter confessed to Jesus at Caesarea Philippi, as recorded in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, "You are the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of the living God." But what does such a formula mean? Even Peter was unsure, for he was immediately rebuked by Jesus for his lack of understanding. When Jesus indicated that now the company of the apostles would go to Jerusalem where Jesus would be crucified, Peter responded in horror. "I won't let this happen," he said to Jesus. Jesus rebuked him, "Get behind me, Satan. Your ways are not God's ways." This sentiment was also expressed in the very earliest prayer of the Christians, a hymn uttered by Mary called the Magnificat, her prayer in the Gospel of Luke. In that prayer, Mary stands in awe of the fact that God chose an obscure young Jewish woman living in Palestine, a backwater of the Roman Empire, to bear his only son into the world. The King of Kings now takes on the lowest form of humanity, wrapped in the swaddling clothes of an impoverished refugee fleeing persecution. "He has confused the proud in their inmost thoughts," was Mary's eloquent testimony. Along the way of his ministry, Jesus often felt it necessary to correct and sometimes rebuke his apostles. "No," he said, "God did not cause that tower in Siloam to fall on its victims because they were evildoers and deserved punishment. That's not the way my Father works. The sun and rain falls on good and evil alike." "No, it will not be the eloquent preacher or the righteous Pharisee who gets into the kingdom first. Rather, the remorseful prostitute, the humble tax collector, the sincere penitent, those people will get to heaven first," Jesus said. "You will find salvation through the example of a crucified criminal. Redemption comes not through military victory or political power, but self-sacrificing service." All of these teachings surprised and even befuddled the followers of Jesus. But here was the most challenging one. "It is not enough to love those who love you," Jesus told his disciples. "One must love one's enemy and do good to those who practice hatred. One must..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?